You know, God gave us a sense of humor, right? It breaks up the monotony and the chaos in our lives sometimes. And if we can just laugh, it just makes you feel better, doesn't it? It really does. But you know, God is good. And gave me some word this morning I'd like to share with you. A familiar passage in Mark chapter 4. And if you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with me, I've preached out of this before. I've actually got it marked in my Bible here where I preached this in, believe it or not, in May of 2018. So I don't know, it must be something in May that we need to hear this. And dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help me, Lord, to speak your word. Lord, you speak through me. Lord, remove anything that may hinder your word from being spoken, Lord, and remove anything that may hinder your word from being heard. Lord, open up our ears that we may hear, and open up our hearts that it may burrow deep into our hearts. Lord, always let us leave here better than we came because we've heard your word. Lord, I praise you for these people that are here this morning. They're here to hear you from you, not from me, but from you. So Lord, we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables, and his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up, it grew, and it produced. It produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Amen.
Amen.
You know, when we look at these scriptures, I looked at four things in these scriptures that really stood out to me. And it's the first thing I saw was a hard heart. It's an uninterested heart. And that's really what he's getting at. And later on in the scripture, he said, "Don't you understand?" He's talking to his disciples because they didn't understand what he said. And in verse 4, he says, "And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it." And fields, you know, when you, if you're familiar with Israel at all, if you've looked at it or done any studies on it, the fields in Israel were small and were separated from one another by paths that became like concrete from all the people and animals walking on them. And the seed that hit this hard ground would just lie there until the birds gobbled it up. You know, today it'd be like throwing the seed out on the sidewalk, concrete sidewalk. You wouldn't expect it to grow. We all know people like this, though. They know time for things of God, and you mention God, and they get defensive, and they tell you what a good person they are and how much kindness they spread in the world, and they don't need God to be a good person. You know, they think that there's other people that are worse than they are, and they're not horrible. And I've heard this said. Actually, Francis Chan brought this to the attention in his book, the Letters that he's written. It's really a good book to read. But he said when he asked somebody about being a good person, he said, "Well, how do you compare a good person? What do you compare yourself to? Hitler? Are you better than Hitler? Are you better than your neighbor?" I mean, how do you compare what is good? And some people will say, "You know, I don't think you have to go to church to go to heaven. I don't think you have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't need church. I don't need to be around hypocrites." And I can tell you this, you can go to Walmart with hypocrites and you still go, right? You might as well go to church with them, because you're not here for the person sitting next to you. You're here for yourself to gain and to grow a better relationship with the Father in heaven. And I know that you can do that. I mean, I've sat in a deer stand and felt the presence of God over me. I've been on the lake fishing and I felt the presence of God speak to me. You can be in different places. It's not just in a church building. What makes this significant is you're with your church family, other believers that can support you and pray with you and hold you up, just like we prayed for Brother Keeley and Valerie. Amen? We do that because we love each other. I say it many times. I mean, you know, we're not perfect people. But through God, through Jesus Christ, that's where perfection comes. He is the perfect one. Verse 15, later on, it says, "And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown, and when they hear it, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." You know, there's two forces. I said this a while ago in my prayer. There's two forces in this world, God and Satan, and they're both physically unseen. We don't see them. But let me tell you, they're there. They're there. Jesus is there in your life, and Satan is there wanting to destroy your life. He's there, and he's real. We don't see the little man with the pitchfork sitting, but we hear him. We also hear God, too, if we listen. And all this, God, in the midst of all this evil and selfishness, still does miracles. He still heals people. I believe with all my heart God healed me. When I had my kidney issue in 2018, this reminded me of that. My kidney doctor said that I would be on dialysis. But look at me today. I can have a test, blood test or whatever, and I have perfect kidney function. Can't even speak this morning. But praise God for that. I believe that in my heart, and I'm going to give Him the glory for that. Amen? Amen. That's why I serve Him. We still see people risking their lives to help the downtrodden in third world countries in poverty. And we still see people spreading the good news of God in times where a society would rather praise a noted criminal than turn their lives over to God. Man, we've witnessed that so much. People wait hours in line to see a ball game, but yet won't spend 1 hour in church. I'm sorry. I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings. Man, I've stood in line for 45 minutes to eat at a good restaurant. Maybe griped about it, but I was there. I still waited it out. But let me, the phrase "take away," when we read that in Scripture, when we look at the definition, it means to seize with force and to rob. Notice that Satan does this immediately. He loves to bring confusion and to cause callousness when the gospel is communicated. And when we do not accept the things of God intentionally, our desire to bury the truths of God deep into our hearts, we allow Satan to steal, to kill, and destroy the things God intended us to have. When we don't hear it, we need to place it down in our hearts. I think each one of us can relate to the hard heart. I think we all relate to each different heart here because we've been there. At some point in your life, you've been calloused. At some point in your life, you have. I know the hard heart. I know the shallow heart. I know the selfish heart. And I'm still working on the humble heart. And with God's help, He'll grant it to me. And I would say, is there any hearts here today that fit into one of these categories? Do you feel cold and callous and have the words of others beat you into a hard place? And have you been trampled upon? And do you have hurts and pains of bitterness put on you? Because let me tell you, this world will beat you up. Have you been burned in the past and maybe even by the church? Come on. I've known some people that get burned by a church and they never go back, ever, to any church. They don't want any part of it. All that bitterness and resentment just builds in your heart. God wants to touch you this morning, though. He wants to touch your heart. He wants to use you to reach other hard hearts. You know, we use our experiences for the glory of God. Sometimes we go through things, and when we go through those things, when we are successful and we persevere through that, we can share that experience with others and help them through the hard times in their life. Number two, a rocky heart is a shallow heart. Verse 5 and 6, it says, "Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away." You know, in that part of the world, much of the land was solid rock with just a thin layer of soil on top. And the sun would bake the rock, and which would keep the soil warm. Thus, it would cause the seed to germinate quickly. But because there was no root, no water retention, these plants would just wither and die quickly. And I think about people in the church. I think about people that come into the church, and when they hear the message, they get excited and they get emotional, and they want to help out. And in verse six, you know, if you go over to verse 16, it says, "And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy." And you tell me, "Pastor, I love that message. It really touched me. Where can I help? I want to do things in the church, and I want to get involved, and I want to do this, and I want to do that." And the soil looks ready, but the problem comes. When problems come in their lives, they just wither away. Their roots didn't go down deep. We see there, if you look over in verse 17, "But since they have no root, they last only a short time, and when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away." How many have we seen do that in your lifetime? People come into the church and you think, man, they're so excited about God, and they do things and they get involved, and the next thing you know, a little bit of trouble in their life happens and they walk away and you don't see them for a while. Until things get better in their life, and then they wander back in, and this is a vicious cycle. I'm just speaking the truth this morning. It's not to offend anybody. It's just the truth. But the truth does offend. Trouble comes because of the word, and remember, the word is powerful. And it begins to cut away things that God wants out of our lives. And the problem comes when we don't want to let go. We don't want to let God cut things out of our lives. Trouble comes because of persecution, because of what we believe. Jesus said, "They'll hate you because of me, because you follow me." And let me tell you, that happens. It's happening more in this world today than ever. We're experiencing that as Christians right now in the world, and it's getting worse right here in this country. We were founded on Christian beliefs and morals. But it's being eroded away every day. Rapidly is the way I see it. Trouble comes when our faith is weak and we let other people's action tear down and destroy our faith. Even Christians are not perfect, like I said before. And if we let other imperfect people weaken our faith, we can easily walk away from something that is not strong. As soon as difficulties come, they ditch their superficial spirituality. That's a big word, isn't it? But I hear a lot of that today, this spirituality. A person like this has a hollow heart and has never let the Word of God go deep into their soul. Behind the emotional fervor is empty faith and does not survive. Some call this convenient Christianity. You know, we believe in prevenient grace, the grace that goes beyond. And I call this convenient grace. We need to have God's favor in our lives, folks. We need to have His Word buried deep into our hearts, growing. You know, there's a lot of people, I think, that want imperfect people to act perfect. Let me tell you, this side of heaven, it's just not going to happen. You know, Jesus said that tribulation would come. He didn't say if it would come. He said when it comes. Amen. The word tribulation has its background from the threshing roller used to smash grain and means to crush, to press, to squeeze, and to break. Think about that. That tribulation. To crush, to press, to squeeze, to break. Trouble and tribulation will strengthen true believers, and it will also reveal those who have only had an emotional experience. John 6:66 says, From that time many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. People that saw the miracles, that heard His Word right from Him, when a little bit of tribulation come, when a little bit of crushing and a little bit of pressing and a little bit of squeezing, they walked away and never came back. When you go and you sow, the kingdom of God will grow. Hear me this morning. The thorny heart, number three, is a divided heart, and seeds that fall on this third kind of soil only to be choked out by weeds. Verse 7 says, other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. When we look at that word choked, it means to choke utterly. The seed is strangled by thorns and thistles and ends up producing no produce. You ever notice how hard it is to grow a garden when it's full of weeds? You ever notice that? Weeds grow by themselves. You don't plant weeds. They seem to just grow, right? The only thing you can do with weeds is get rid of them as soon as possible. That's what we have to do in our lives. John Calvin even said this. He referred to the human heart as a perpetual idol factory. Jesus interrupts or interprets this soil in verse 18 and 19 later on in that scripture, and it says, and others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for the things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Now hear this. This applies to us today. Jesus says that there are three things that can hinder a heart. Keep one from being a faithful follower. Cares of this world. The word of cares is anxiety. is what the definition there is. A person is so caught up in the cares, the anxieties and concerns that they can't focus on their faith. They can't focus on God because they're so caught up in their own anxiety. Deceitfulness of riches, to be deceived, means to be seduced. And that's exactly what the love of money can do to us. And 1 Timothy 6:17 says, not set our hopes on the uncertainty of riches. A man by the name of G. Campbell Morgan believed that persecution is Satan's second best weapon. His first is materialism. You think about that. I've mentioned that many times before, that we can get so caught up in things. And God wants us to have things, but we can get so tied down by the things that we have that it takes us away from the church. The desires for other things, everything else, it means everything else is not important to us. The phrase desires for other things can be translated as lusting for all the rest. And Luke 8:14 says, defines it like this: the pleasures of life. God's word cannot thrive and survive in a hindered heart. Proverbs 27:20 says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Man, we have to live in this world but not be of this world. We need money, but we cannot be so selfish that we forget others. We can have things, but we are not to let things have us. People want to hear what they want to hear, and Jesus doesn't say that we cannot have things. We just cannot be caught up in keeping up with the Joneses. Amen?
Amen.
And forget God, because that's what happens. If anything is more important than God, it is an idol. And God will bring it down in your life. If you're distracted, you'll eventually depart. And if you're all up in the ways of the world, the word will be choked out. If you have a hindered heart, there will be no harvest. So I'm telling you this morning, pull those weeds in your life that are holding you back from serving God and serving Him with the purpose that He's given you, because each and every one of us have a purpose. And He wants you to be available to Him. So weed out those things that are holding you back. Number four, a humbled heart. We need good soil, receptive heart. There's only one kind of soil that produces a crop. In verse 8 it says, and other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Can you imagine that? Let me put it into perspective. 100-fold. Put $100 in a bank account and come back 5 months later and it'd be 100-fold. How many of you would just continue to just put more in? Good ground was not hard and hollow or hindered. We need good soil in our lives. We need good soil. If a farmer had a harvest that was 7 times what was sown, it would be called a good crop. Amen?
Amen.
To have yields 30 and 60 or 100 times would be astonishing. Action words there. Produce, growing, and yielding. That's what God wants in our lives.
Amen.
That's what He wants. He wants us to produce. He wants us to grow. He wants us to yield. When you go and you sow, the kingdom of God will grow. And I picture Jesus smiling when He declares in verse 20, but those that were sown on the good soil and the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Man, isn't that awesome? The word good refers to that which is excellent and beautiful. Humble-hearted people bear fruit. Luke 15 says, he keeps the word and bears with patience. I like that scripture. They love the Lord. They listen to the Lord. Saving faith produces fruit, folks. The early church in Acts 17:11, they received the word with all eagerness. Are you excited when you come to church in your heart? You're eager to hear the word. When you read your Bible, you're expecting God to show you something when you read the word that's going to help you in this day. Eager to hear the word. It's not just about hearing me preach. It's about picking up your Bible and reading the Word of God and saying, God, show me something today that will help me. Something that I can bury deep into my heart that will grow roots and produce fruit. He said, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Amen. When we are fruitful, we will be fruitful. The problem is that sometimes the Word of God that you hear is not the Word that you want to hear. There may be things that I've said this morning that come from the Word that you don't want to hear. It doesn't fit into your narrative. Jesus says, as an example, He said, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I don't want to hear that word. I don't want to pray for my enemy. I don't want to do good to the people that constantly mistreat my family and me. When you ignore that long enough, your heart becomes hard. And the next time you hear the word, it becomes even harder to listen and obey. We must always receive the word. This parable is all about us preparing our ground for the seed that is dropped and dropping seeds for others that God has prepared their heart. That's the prevenient grace that goes before just waiting for us to drop a seed. 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The Bible says this will happen in the last days. And do you see it now? You see it happening? There's all kinds of things happening in our churches today that is unbelievable. Teachings that are just unbelievable, and people just get who they want to teach so that it makes them feel better and doesn't reveal the truth, because they don't want to get rid of the things that are hindering them from a relationship with God. We're in that day right now. People have teachers, but they are selective in their hearing. They don't want to receive the truth, and they just want to hear what makes them happy and feel good about themselves. God doesn't change, and God's Word doesn't change, and no matter how society changes, God doesn't change. Amen. Our hearts have grown hard to the truth, and we don't want to receive it. And I'll say this morning, what condition is your ground this morning? What condition is your soil? Are the seeds being planted in your life growing? What condition is your ground? Are you on a path of hardness, not teachable? Or are you on rocky ground, shallow, having a quitter mindset? Is your soil already filled with thorns and weeds, and is bad behavior choking out the things of God and the service to the Lord and to others? Are you on good soil, balanced life, body, soul, and spirit? A balanced life is an abundant life. God wants your heart to be overflowing with His love. Seeds planted in good ground will grow into an abundant life. And James says this in James 1:22. We read, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." The power of the seed, the word, is released the moment it enters your heart. And your heart is where you believe. Believing increases your seed, faith. And we might read Romans 10:17 this way: faith comes by an outward hearing, and then an inward hearing by the spoken and personal word of God. In Matthew 7:24 and 27, we read, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain comes down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand, and the rain came down, the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." And I want to point out something that I've mentioned before, because in the book of Galatians, Paul says, "You foolish Galatians." And when you look at that word in the Greek, the context there, the word that he would have really used there, and I think the monk said, "I can't use that word because people would definitely be offended." That word is in the same definition as stupid. And that's a pretty offensive word, isn't it? He's saying that you're stupid. You're a stupid person if you build your house on sand. Man, that's hard to hear. I think, can you imagine Paul coming here just like he did to the Galatian church and saying, "You stupid people"? I don't think they'd probably get up and walk out. I know if I use words like that, I wouldn't be a pastor very long. You guys wouldn't put up with me. But that's how serious it is. These words that are used are in that same context as, "Guys, man, you need to listen to this because you're being foolish here. You're wasting your life away on foolish things. I have something better for you." Just put these things into practice. Life is in the seed and the soil, not a sower. Trust the seed and stop worrying about how good a sower you are. I want to mention that as well. It's a liberating thought to me. You know, it's our job just to plant the seed. God makes it. He does all the rest. He grows it. We're just to plant the seed. Galatians 6:7-9 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." I'd like to close with that, because through all that we've been through over the last couple years, it's easy to say, "I give up." We get worried about things and we get concerned about all these things going on around us. And he's saying, "Don't give up. Just keep sowing seeds. Don't give up. Just keep sowing seeds." And you'll say, "Pastor, I've never seen a harvest." Yes, you have. You know, when you sow a seed of a good word to somebody and you encourage that person and they give you a smile, guess what? You just got a harvest. I love to see a smile from somebody's face. It makes me feel good inside. That's my harvest for the day. Amen? You ever think of it that way? You know, when you pray for somebody, we can both sow a seed and reap a harvest when they say, thank you for praying for me. That really helped me through this day. Man, I tell you what, so many times I've been blessed beyond measure when I've heard somebody say, thank you for praying for me. Simple as that. I not only planted a seed, but I received a harvest as well. So don't give up. Don't give up. Amen. Keep planting seeds. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, let it burrow deep into our hearts and let it grow out strong roots, Lord. Lord, help us prepare our soil. Lord, let your Holy Spirit abound in our lives. Let us be good sowers. Let us sow the seed so that your work can grow, can do the rest. Lord, I praise you and thank you for all you do. Lord, bring us back safely tonight. Bless that service tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.